Della watched the mob approach the San Antonio Veterans Clinic. She decided the mass of bodies moved like a single-cell organism. The fringes of the crowd ebbed and flowed, swallowing up people too slow moving to escape. Individuals who tried and failed to outrun the horde were torn apart and stumbled over by the mob, with the infected barely breaking stride. The bodies disappeared amid the lurching feet. Even from half a block away, Della could see bloody wounds on every one of the people in the horde. Few cars moved on nearby streets in the last 20 minutes. The building was now void of the usual office sounds and the typical hum of conversation. Now, the only sound was the steady moan of the infected and random screams of the dying from outside. In the last hour, only a couple of vehicles had ventured out. One of those slammed into a stalled civilian Humvee, and the second stopped by the sheer volume of bodies surrounding it. In both cases, screams could be heard for a short time, then fell silent. The horde moved on, and the vehicles remained. As the crowd got closer to the center, Della could see individuals in the group and their injuries. The flesh of limbs and faces were torn and ragged, resulting in clothes soaked in blood and carnage. It was a walking horror show she was witnessing. She watched as a man struggled to keep up with the others. He wore a white wife-beater t-shirt and boxer shorts. Raw, torn flesh hung in strips from his limbs, exposing tendons and bone. Remnants of the t-shirt draped his eviscerated abdomen. Loops of intestines hung from the gaping wound across his middle. As bad as they were, the man's horrific injuries were not the most terrible in the crowd. She saw missing limbs, faces shredded into ribbons, and throats are torn open. As the group drew closer, each of the battered individuals became a stark reality. They staggered and stumbled, walking as if their legs had lost the memory of function. Yet, despite the awkward and uncoordinated movements, the monsters could take down anyone unfortunate enough to cross their path. There were gunshots occasionally, but from what Della could see, they made little impact.
"It's just like the news report said. There's something wrong with those people," Della whispered. "We have to get out of here. Steve, some of them are heading down the street this way."
She looked over her shoulder at the soldier sitting on the bench. Steve adjusted the new carbon fiber running prosthetics she had fitted to his heeled stumps. Before serving in Afghanistan, where an IED cost Steve both legs below the knee, he had been a runner. Della had spent the afternoon making adjustments to the cuffs that held the fiberglass blades to his lower limbs and letting him get comfortable using them. They had spent most of the day oblivious to the chaos taking place in San Antonio until Steve noticed warnings scrolling across the muted television screen in the therapy room. They turned up the volume and watched news reports of attacks on the military base, then around the city. Then, they saw videos of victims attacked by the infected. The news was horror-filled and graphic. Some reporters speculated the attacks were caused by an airborne virus from a secret lab, while others insisted it was a terrorist attack. Finally, of course, some claimed it was the end of days and the wrath of God.
"We're running out of time." Della placed her slender ebony hand on Steve's elbow to help him stand. With a crash and screams from the lower floor, she added, "They're in the building."
Steve answered, "I'm ready. I can do this." He shifted his stance on the blades and looked out the window one last time.
"They keep raising their noses like dogs sniffing the air.
Do you think they can smell people?"
Della gathered a canvas pouch. "I don't know. And I don't intend to stick around long enough to ask them."
Her dark face blanched as the whites of her eyes betrayed her terror.
"I hear running in the hallway. We're trapped!"